Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. Your word that is able to make us wise unto salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Your word that endures forever the same, even though the grass may wither and the flower may fade. Grant to us this morning an understanding by your Spirit of this word. Grant as well that it may be sealed upon our hearts, and that your word may be powerfully at work in us and all who believe, and that we would give our attention and that nothing would distract us from humbling ourselves before you as you speak to us in this word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We read the word of the Lord this morning as we find it in Ruth chapter 2. Listen now to this word the Lord speaks to us. Now Naomi had a relative of her husband's, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth, the Moabite, said to Naomi, "Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him, in whose sight I shall find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." So she set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the clan of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem. And he said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered, "The Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his young man who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" And the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered, "She is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. She said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers.' So she came, and she has continued from early morning until now, except for a short rest." Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Now listen, my daughter, do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Let your eye be on the field that they are reaping, and go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn." And she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes, that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" But Boaz answered her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." Then she said, "I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants." And at mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come here and eat some bread and dip your morsel in the wine." So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed to her roasted grain. And she ate until she was satisfied, and she had some left over. When she rose to glean, Boaz instructed his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. And also pull out some from the bundles for her, and leave it for her to glean, and do not rebuke her." So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city. Her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She also brought out and gave her what food she had left over after being satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, "Where did you glean today? And where have you worked? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, "The man's name with whom I work today is Boaz." And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "May he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead." Naomi also said to her, "The man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers." And Ruth the Moabite said, "Besides, he said to me, 'You shall keep close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest.'" And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter-in-law, that you go out with his young women, lest in another field you be assaulted." So she kept close to the young women of Boaz, gleaning until the end of the barley and wheat harvests. And she lived with her mother-in-law. Notice the language of verses 2, 12, and also 20. Verse 2, "And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him, in whose sight I shall find favor. And she said to her, Go, my daughter. And then verse 12, The Lord repay you for what you have done, and the full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you've come to take refuge. And this verse 20, And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, May he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead. Naomi also said to her, The man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers. May the Lord bless this reading and our hearing of His Word this morning. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, as we approach and consider this morning this story as it unfolds for us here in Ruth chapter 2, it's very important that we remember a couple of things. First of all, this is the Lord's story, first and foremost. This is a story as it unfolds in the book of Ruth in the period of the Judges of the way in which Christ, the Son of God, from the beginning to the end of the world, is gathering, defending, and preserving for Himself a people like you and me, chosen unto everlasting life. And so this is our story. That's the second thing. Just as the Lord redeemed Ruth and Naomi out of their deepest distress when they, as Naomi and Ruth did, took shelter under the wings of the Almighty, so the Lord will, without fail, and the key word in the text and throughout the book is the word rendered in verse 20, the Lord's kindness. It's actually a word often rendered, the Lord's loving kindness. Or perhaps even better, the Lord's steadfast love. He will let no circumstance, He will let no situation prevent Him from taking the people who come to Him empty-handed, without anything, without a name, without a place, without an inheritance, with no prospects whatever. And He will, in Jesus Christ, as He does for Naomi and Ruth and their entire family through Jesus Christ, He will fill your and my hands with the good things that belong to those who are members of His house. That's what's going on here in the book of Ruth. But the interesting thing is, you can't tell that story without paying attention to the details. How the Lord weaves every small and seemingly insignificant thread in the life circumstance of Naomi and Ruth, even as He does in your and my life, reaping and preparing a rich tapestry of His grace and kindness as He grants salvation to us through Christ Jesus. Let's not forget, we won't look at that this morning, but the book of Ruth, which occurs in the period of the Judges, as I said, which was what kind of period in the life of Christ's church? Well, a little bit like it is today. There was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Sound familiar? And yet in the midst of the church's unfaithfulness, there stands out gloriously the steadfast love, the persistent working of God's grace in the gathering of His people. And therefore, the book ends with a genealogy. It's the genealogy of the great, 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 however many greats, grandson of Ruth and Boaz and her mother-in-law, Naomi, and father-in-law Elimelech of the clan of Judah from, note well, the town of Bethlehem. It is the genealogy of the coming into the world of our Lord Jesus Christ. But now, having said all of that, what is the focus in particular of chapter 2? Well, I would judge that what's going on here is we witness the beginning of the work of God's grace, His loving kindness, in the restoration from a circumstance of helplessness, hopelessness, and emptiness, two sisters in the Lord, Naomi, a widow, and Ruth, a Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, likewise a widow. And the Lord shows His loving kindness to them in three ways. First of all, through the provision of bread, by way of the law of gleaning. He shows His loving kindness to them, secondly, by introducing them to a living member of Christ's church, a man of stature by the name of Boaz. And He shows His loving kindness to them as well, not only through provision of bread and through a living member of the church, Boaz, but through a nearest kinsman who will prove to be an instrument whereby God will redeem Ruth and her mother-in-law Naomi and their entire family from their circumstance of distress. Now, before we look at the first of those three things, let me just remind you of something. I've used the language helplessness, hopelessness, emptiness. We didn't read chapter 1, but it constitutes the backdrop to chapter 2. And in chapter 1, what do we see? We see Elimelech and Naomi, a couple from Bethlehem of the clan of Elimelech in Judah in a period of the famine. And what does the famine remind us of? It reminds us that these were not good days. They were not glorious days. These were dark days in the history of the church. God was bringing His judgment upon a wicked people. That's what famine represents. This was to be a land flowing with milk and honey. But guess what? In the house of bread, note well, Bethlehem, lots of ironies in the first chapter. In the house of bread, whence will someday come a Savior? There is famine. There is emptiness. So much so that Elimelech, whose name means "My God is King," goes to the extreme measure of leaving the promised land. And where does he go? To the worst possible place. His name means "My God is King," but he acts like he's king. Never mind the Lord of the covenant and His promise. I will secure for my family a future in a faraway land. And Moab, as you know, was an arch enemy of the people of Israel. Moab was born of an incestuous relationship between Lot and his eldest daughter. Genesis 19 says that no citizen or member of the people of Moab who refused Israel entry into the promised land, remember Balak and Balaam, tried to curse the people upon their entry, no Moabite would be granted entry into the assembly of God's people for 10 generations. And so it won't surprise you that it doesn't go well for Elimelech and Naomi when they seek bread in, of all places, Moab. Not from the hand of the Lord, among the people of the Lord, in the land of promise. Elimelech dies. The two sons, the Lord gave them Mahlon and Chilion, whose names mean pining and sickly. They were not exactly stalwart fellows, champions whom you'd put on your Olympic team. They were weak and sickly. There's something in that too. But they die, and there is Naomi, a widow in Moab of all places, with of all things not two trophy daughters-in-law, but two Moabite daughters-in-law. And she hears that there's bread restored to Bethlehem, and so they make their way back. And you know the story. She pleads with her two daughter-in-law. She says, "You have no future in Israel among God's people. You go back to your own gods and your own people." She begs them to return to their own people. Shame upon her. But Ruth, by God's grace, it's an Old Testament conversion story. What does Ruth say? She says, "Your people, Naomi, they're going to be my people. Your God, He's going to be my God. I'm going to die among your people. I'm going to find my rest and my blessedness and salvation among the people of the Lord Jesus Christ. I will become a member of God's family, a covenant member." By the way, one of the interesting things about that is when you get the Lord as your God through Christ by the Spirit, you also get His people. These people, they become my people. This family is a family of which I am a member. These are my brothers and sisters. Don't forget that. There are a lot of people. They want God for their God, but they don't want His people. Now, these people, they're not particularly attractive, and some of them I don't like, and they look cross-eyed at me, and I don't think I belong here because I'm too good for these people. There's some of them that just, they irritate me no end. Well, I've got news for you. If you hear nothing else this morning, just by way of background, one of the themes in the book of Ruth is when you get the Lord, you get His people. You belong not simply to the Lord, you belong to those who belong to Him. And you owe and are indebted to them to give them what the Lord has given you. Grace, consideration, kindness, mercy, long-suffering, patience. And so, and by the way, if you say, well, I don't really like that member of the church. You remember, they were purchased with the blood of Jesus. He cares for them, why don't you? He loves them and is patient with them and forgives them all their sin, why won't you? Who do you think you are? Ruth understood, when you get the Lord, it's a package deal. You also get His people. But remember what happens at the end of the chapter. You get a big contrast there as well between Ruth, who makes a gracious choice by God's grace, and Naomi, who says, don't call me, when she returns to Bethlehem. And the women of the town say, can this possibly be Naomi? She looks haggard. Hadn't gone well for her in Moab. She looks beaten down. Can this be Naomi, whose name means pleasantness? The lines have fallen for me among the people of the Lord in pleasant places. And she says, don't call me Naomi. I'm at the end of my rope, humanly speaking. There's no future for me. She'd already told her daughters-in-law, I can't marry tomorrow and have sons who you can wait for, that you could marry and then obtain an inheritance among God's people and be restored to the clan of Elimelech. I have no sons. I'm a widow in Israel. You're Moabites. What likelihood is it that the people of the Lord will show you hospitality? Go back. And so she says, call me Mara. The Lord's hand has gone out against me. I have no future. My situation is beyond reach. Even God can't redeem me. Really? That's what she says. Maybe I'm talking to someone this morning who's been in a place, deep place, a dark place, a circumstance where you said, God can't reach me in this place. I'm so far gone. There's no future for me. It all looks dark and bleak. I went away full, says Naomi. I've come back empty-handed. Well, I spend too much time on the background. Let's get to the foreground in chapter 2. You see the beginning of what the Lord answers by way of Naomi's But God never leaves His people empty-handed. He brings them from famine to fullness. He brings us in Christ from emptiness to all the good things that belong to His house. He rescues us out of our deepest valleys. And He lifts us up. And He gives us in Christ redemption. It's a redemption story. And how does it begin? Well, very quickly now. First of all, through the provision of bread. You know, they didn't have a safety net in Israel in those days. It was the duty of the people of the Lord to provide for each other. They didn't go to the government for some sort of social security or some kind of provision. And if you were a widow without a husband, without sons, as was Naomi, with her daughter-in-law, likewise a widow, Ruth, you had no prospect for bread upon your table. They had nothing. It so happens you couldn't receive the inheritance as a woman that belonged to your family in the line of your husband and his name. And so they are widows in Israel, no better off in terms of addressing their direct need for daily bread than that it should be provided them by another. And the Lord had made provision, as you know, in His law. You can read about that in various places in Leviticus 19 or in Leviticus 23 or again in Deuteronomy 24. The Lord had made provision for the law of gleaning. And the law of gleaning, very briefly put, was as you read this story as it unfolds in chapter 2, Ruth goes out into the field of a man in Israel by the name of Boaz at the time of the barley harvest. And she gathers with other women in a like circumstance in desperate need of bread, and she gleans. And the law of gleaning said that on the periphery or on the outside of the field, as the harvest was reaped, you were to leave sufficient remainders of stalks of grain that widows and orphans and sojourners, strangers without land or property or portion among the people of God, they would be able, through the kindness and the generosity of the Lord's people, representing the Lord's kindness and generosity to the weak and the vulnerable among the people of God, they would be able to glean. And I tell you, the story as it unfolds in chapter 2 is remarkable. It's remarkable in the sense that we're told, there's a very interesting statement made in verse 3, so Ruth set out, having told Naomi her plan to go gleaning, she set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz. You know how that reads in the original? She happened to come. The happenstance happened. We would say, by lucky coincidence. And you say, well, no Calvinist would say, lucky coincidence. The happenstance happened? Well, you see, the writer is ingeniously telling you, this was no accident. The Lord knew of their need and plight. He looked upon Naomi and Ruth with an eye that was filled with compassion. And so it was the hand of the Lord that brought Ruth to the field of Boaz. This was no accident. There are no accidents, circumstances unforeseen and outside of the reach of God's grace in the life of His people. And so she goes to the field of Boaz, and he makes provision for her, and she reaps so much so that at the middle of the day, he even invites her into his house for a meal. Now, let me just pause here, congregation. You know, it's a striking thing in the Scriptures. Now, what I said a moment ago about Ruth, when she was converted, she threw in her life with the life of God's people. And she had the right to expect, though in many ways her circumstance suggested it wouldn't happen, that she would find among the people of God a kind of loving kindness that mirrors God's loving kindness toward us. One of the questions that arises at this juncture in the book of Ruth is, isn't it remarkable that the people of Israel in the period of the judges would, at least in the person of Boaz, in keeping with the requirements of God's holy law, shown such loving kindness to these two widows, one of whom is no trophy. She comes from the other side of the tracks. She's the sort of gal who comes into church with one of our young men, and you say, oh, I don't think this is a good deal. This has got to be stopped. We can't have someone from that family in our congregation. We know that family and its history. She's a Moabite of all things. And yet, what does she find? A people who care for her, who show her compassion. You know, in the law of gleaning in the book of Leviticus, it says, you are to do this because you too were sojourners. You were once without a name and a place. You had no bread on your table, and yet I provided for you. I took you up. I delivered you out of your bondage in Egypt. I filled your hands with good things. You can't be a member of my household and not show alike compassion. And so, congregation, Redeemer United Reformed Church, if strangers come amongst us, if there should be among us a widow or an orphan, a person in a circumstance of vulnerability, great need, they have nothing with which to meet that need. Are we a kind people? Do we show the face of the loving kindness of our God? Do we take note of them in their need? Pray God we do. Because most people meet the Lord first through the Lord's people. And so did Ruth. But now notice the second thing. She meets quite a member of Christ's church. I call him a living member of the church, Boaz. He's said to be a man of stature, according to chapter 2. Of the clan, same family. More about that this evening. As Naomi's husband, Elimelech. From the village, likewise, of Bethlehem. And he's quite a remarkable person. Did you notice how he greets his workers in the field during the harvest? He says, "The Lord be with you." He doesn't toss that out like an empty phrase. "How you doing?" He means it. And his workers, they have a rapport with their Christian farmer, owner, businessman, boss. They say, "And to you too, Boaz. May the Lord bless you." And then notice what he does. He takes note of Ruth, the Moabitess, and he even has heard a report of how Ruth has been good and kind to Naomi, who is a widow in Israel, and who is in a circumstance of distress. He even takes note that she should come into the field, even at danger to her own person. I mean, if you're a young lady in Israel in those days, there might just come some difficulty with these young men in the field on harvest day. And a Moabite of all things. And so he makes sure that she's protected, that she's given water, even invites her to lunch. And it's remarkable, they have some left over. So they put it in a doggy bag and she brings it home at the end of the day when she returns to Naomi, who's very interested to see how it's gone in the field of the Lord's servant Boaz. Now the whole thrust of this is to say, this great, great, great grandfather of our Lord Jesus Christ, he too is in some way a type of what it means to be a person of stature among the people of God. Ruth has not only shown the Lord's loving kindness through the provision of bread upon her table by way of the law of gleaning, but also shown kindness through Boaz, the Lord's servant, who knows the grace of the law of God, whose aim it is to get us to love those who bear God's image, even as we love God Himself. It's very interesting in verse 20 how it reads. It says, Naomi says to her daughter-in-law, "May he, that is Boaz, be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living nor the dead." Now here's a grammatical question for you young men going and young ladies to school. What's the antecedent of the, well, that's a big word, whose? Is it the Lord and His kindness? Or is it, may he, that is Boaz, whose kindness? You might say, well, the nearest subject, the Lord, that's who it is. Well, there's a kind of ambiguity there, and I think it's deliberate. Because how does Ruth experience the Lord's kindness? Not in the abstract. You don't say to, "Here, listen to me, the Lord is kind, but I'm not going to help you. He's loving. I'm not going to love you. He's very considerate of our needs, but never mind your needs. He's long-suffering and patient toward us, but I'm not going to bother to be long-suffering and patient toward you." Well, at a certain point, you're going to say what John says in his epistle when he says, "Who can say that he loves God if he doesn't love his mother sitting right next to him in church? Or a brother or a sister? How could the love of God be abiding in such a person?" The point is, God, the Lord, shows His steadfast, relentless kindness and love toward Naomi and Ruth, not only through the provision of bread upon their table, but through the faithful embodiment of some, at least, measure of conformity to who God is in His dealings with us on the part of Boaz. We're going to see tonight that Boaz proves to be the kind of kinsman redeemer who, in a way, shadows forth gives us a little bit of a from a distance. But, you know, we have the benefit of hindsight because we have the New Testament. And we know the true kinsman redeemer whose loving kindness, whose readiness to do for us as our nearest kinsman, our brother, sharing our flesh and blood, everything needed to obtain for us an inheritance among the people of God, to provide us with a bread. He's the bread of life, born in Bethlehem, for the salvation and redemption of all His people. We'll see more of that this evening. But it does raise the interesting question, are you and I, are we also living members of the church household of faith, who, like Boaz, have enough acquaintance with the Lord's kindness, steadfast love, patience, readiness to come to your and my aid in our time of need, that others can also meet in us as Ruth and Naomi met in Boaz, one who embodied the Lord's loving kindness? Now, there's one last thing, and we'll not say much about it because it'll be the focus of the message this evening. You get all kinds of hints in this chapter that this Boaz fellow is more than just a wonderful, kind member of Christ's church. He is from the same clan and tribe people as Naomi's husband Elimelech was. And that means that he will possibly be someone who, by God's grace, will become for Naomi and Ruth and their entire family, that is the family of Elimelech, a redeemer, a kinsman redeemer. And I'll just leave it hanging. I won't say much about that just now. I've talked long enough. But that'll be the focus of what we see this evening or this afternoon in Ruth chapter 3, that he will prove to be like the Lord Jesus Christ for the family of Elimelech and these two widows, Naomi and her Moabite daughter-in-law, what in a far more surpassing way Jesus Christ is for us. And what is that? One who was willing to assume your and my lowly estate, to enter into our humanity, sharing as our faithful high priest our flesh and blood. Not ashamed to use the remarkable words of Hebrews 2 to call you and me his brother. Am I my brother's keeper? He says, yes, I am my people's keeper. I assume their flesh and blood in order to be their redeemer, to bring them to my house, to give them a seat at the table with me, to feed them with the finest of foods, to write their name in the book of life, that they are inheritors. They belong to my family, and because they are mine, what is mine is become theirs. Their portion, their name, their place, their inheritance among my people. So that for us it becomes even as it did for Naomi and Ruth. From out of our emptiness, from out of the depths of our sin and our lost estate, Jesus Christ, the Redeemer, has come, identified with us, and in the Lord's loving kindness, filled our hands. What does the psalmist say in Psalm 23? He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. My cup, even in the presence of my enemies, is one that overflows with the blessings of the Lord's house. Well, more on that this evening. With that, let us continue.